Now to more news stories, including a gaming festival and support for military veterans. But first, news from Norwich Airport.
A ceremonial soaking marked the first scheduled flights from Norwich Airport to Spain for nearly a decade. Before passengers swapped the grey skies over Norfolk for the sunshine of Malaga and Alicante, the new year-round routes were celebrated with the formation of a water arch over the newly arrived Flybe E195. A new scheduled service between Exeter and Norwich also began, with hopes that the 50-minute flight time can encourage business links between Norfolk and the southwest. The twice-weekly flights are the result of a close working relationship with Flybe, whose 118-seater jet aircraft will serve both routes. Andrew Bell, Chief Operating Officer for Regional and City Airports, the management division of Rigby Group, said, "Our partnership with Flybe to revive these scheduled sunshine routes has been hugely welcomed by our customers. Coupled with the launch of the new Exeter flight, which we expect to be popular with business and leisure travellers, it demonstrates our commitment to enhance connectivity from Norwich Airport at home and abroad."
A developer has said new life will be breathed into one of Norwich's forgotten architectural gems. The former Bethel Hospital, believed to be the first purpose-built asylum in the country, is a Grade 2-star listed complex of buildings, but its condition means it has been placed on Historic England's Register of Buildings at Risk. Part of the Bethel Street property, including the original 1713 building, built by Mary Chapman as an asylum, have been restored over the past 15 years. But other sections, including the 19th century wing, have been deemed by English Heritage to be in a poor condition, needing substantial repairs. Part of the hospital's former boardroom is in need of structural reinforcement. However, Roger Gorn, who helped to turn the Little Bethel Street part of the complex into apartments before the recession scuppered plans for the rest of the buildings, insists the future for the site is now brighter. Mr. Gorn said, "I've been involved for about 15 years, and I developed the courtyard at Little Bethel Street. But because of the recession, the investors had lost heart in the rest of the site, and it stalled. However, Mr. Gorn said he'd persuaded the investors to sell the east wing of the old hospital so it can be restored and converted into houses and apartments. Contracts have been exchanged with that section, which is in the poorest condition of all the buildings, sold to London-based developer James Griffith."
A McDonald's drive-through restaurant could be built at the Thickthorne interchange near Norwich. The fast food giant submitted a planning application to South Norfolk Council, seeking to develop land near the existing park and ride, travel lodge and Burger King, close to the interchange where the A11 meets the A47. Applicants claim that the restaurant would create more than 65 full-time and part-time jobs, and that almost all of these would be recruited from the local community. The development would include 44 car parking spaces, the seating area would have 140 covers, and the restaurant would use natural and neutral colours to integrate into its surroundings.
The stormy weather might have put paid to a number of bank holiday events, but computer lovers were able to console themselves by going to the Norwich Gaming Fair. Despite the high winds which forced organisers to shelve plans for an outside gaming village, it was a case of game on rather than game over for those who filled the forum in Norwich for the start of a week-long celebration of the gaming industry. Organised and hosted by the Forum and backed by the Norwich University of the Arts and the University of East Anglia, the Free Festival got off to a busy start.
She has swum in near-freezing temperatures, been scarred by jellyfish stings, and shared Californian waters with great white sharks. Wearing only a traditional costume rather than a wetsuit, Hardy Tracy Clark has tackled some of the world's most challenging open-water swims, a hobby-turned-career which has seen her raise £16,000 for various charities. While it began 4 years ago as an ambitious dream to swim the English Channel, the 46-year-old from Thorpe St Andrew is now hoping to become the seventh person in the world to complete Ocean's Seven, a formidable list of the 7 most grueling open water challenges across the globe, of which she has already ticked off 3. In September 2013, after almost 13 hours in the water, struggling through the last 4 with a ripped tendon, New Zealand-born Mrs. Clark swam the English Channel and was forced to take 10 months off to let her injury recover. Last year, Mrs. Clark, who moved to Norfolk last August, braved the strong currents of the Gibraltar Strait in June with friend Roger Finch, during which the pair were badly stung by jellyfish. Then came the Californian Catalina Channel in September, a nighttime 12-hour swim in waters home to the great white sharks, before the first of this year's swims in February, which took her from Robben Island to Cape Town in South Africa. Next up is the Manhattan Island Marathon Swim, a full circle round the island, which will see Mrs. Clark earn the Open Water Triple Crown, which is awarded to swimmers completing the English Channel, Catalina Channel, and Manhattan Swim. Mrs. Clark, who now holds talks on her experiences, said, "It's a sport like no other. Everybody is so supportive of each other. Sea pawling has become my spiritual training ground. I've even seen a few seals. They'll come up to you and I can feel their whiskers on my toes, which is lovely."
Thousands of armed forces veterans and their families are to be given a vital lifeline with the opening of a new support centre at a former Norwich barracks. In the first project of its kind in the UK, all of the region's military charities will be represented under one roof to provide help with issues such as mental health, housing and jobs. The Britannia Veterans Centre in Britannia Road is next to Norwich Prison on the former Britannia Barracks site, which was the home of the Royal Norfolk Regiment.
Up to £1 million could be spent on temporary housing for homeless people in Norwich, so that families waiting to find out if they're entitled to council homes do not have to be housed as far away as Ipswich and Lowestoft. Norwich City Council has a duty to assess households who present themselves as homeless to determine if they need to be rehoused. But with a shortage of places for them to stay while that process happens, the council has had to resort to sending them to be housed in Suffolk while their applications are dealt with. That has prompted council leaders to set aside £1 million in next year's budget and to draw up a business plan to build a 20-bed unit somewhere in the city. A location has yet to be decided. Some people are having to stay in B&Bs in and around the city while their applications for council homes are worked through. But others have had to go to temporary accommodation over the border.
Our second feature is again written by Derek James, who pays tribute to the ingenuity and skill of an extraordinary city company. And here is Sarah to tell us all about it.